You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another dejected episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers fall 84-83 to the Northwestern Wildcats at home in a game that certainly didn't feel that close, as Northwestern came out and controlled the game from the tip, stayed in control pretty much the entire game thereafter. A late flurry of shot-making and fouls and, you know, a little bit more of a sense of urgency on defense made this the final score closer than the game actually felt. But the end result for Indiana is just a disastrous loss. Coming off the loss at Iowa City, coming back home, you know, look, you're down Xavier Johnson, you're down Race Thompson, and I think everybody understands that the expectations are a little bit different, but the expectations are still more than this, because this was a game where, you know, strategically, Indiana seemed to be a step or two behind the entire game. And just in terms of fight and getting to loose balls and doing the little things that it takes to win a Big Ten basketball game, no matter who is on the court, Indiana was a step or two behind the Wildcats today. And so the end result is another loss. Indiana falls to 10-5 on the season, 1-3 in conference play. And we are here to break it all down for you. I'm Jared Morris. We got a full crew today. The coach is here. Brian Tonsoni, Ryan Phillips, Andy Bottoms, all here to talk about just a splendid day of basketball for Indiana. Let's start the way we start every show. That is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. My banner moment today, I'm going back to the second half when it was 53-41. Trace Jackson Davis goes for a block, falls on his back. You could hear every Indiana fan in the world hold their breath until he got back up, and he did. And thank goodness he did, because Trace Jackson Davis played 40 minutes today and really, for me, was the one guy who brought it from the tip all the way until the end. He finishes with 18 points, 24 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 blocks. It was not an efficient game for Trace. You know, from an offensive standpoint, he was 8 for 19, struggled against some double teams. It was far from a perfect performance, but he was the one guy that from the tip really seemed to be fighting. And, you know, Jalen Hood-Schifino finishes with 33 points. Jalen was a tremendous shot maker today. I mean, just incredible shooting. But, you know, 6 turnovers, some really lackadaisical defense from him that, you know, really you kind of saw throughout the roster. But I thought Trace, you know, given what we know that he's dealing with physically and the burden that he had to shoulder, really stepped up for this Indiana team today. And unfortunately, not enough of his teammates did. And the result is a loss that really just at this point in the season, given what this team is facing, is unconscionable. But credit to Northwestern. You know, they came out and played with poise and played with more fight than Indiana. And that's why they walk away today with a victory. All right, guys, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Homefield Apparel, well on for the team. Yep, our banner moment today, as always, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, now in their 6th season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their 2nd as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And as you know, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And they've got a lot more stuff coming out soon. I don't know the exact date of when it'll come out, but you've probably heard on our show, on Crimson Cast, Chronic Hoosier's been tweeting about it. They sent us all a little sneak peek of some new IU gear that's coming, and it's awesome. There's a women's basketball shirt coming. That's the one that I ordered. So keep an eye out for that, because the biggest collection of IU apparel is getting bigger. Coach Tonsoni, my apologies to your closet and bank account. We know you'll be getting many of those items. But look, Homefield Apparel, just such a good company to support. They employ a lot of people in Indianapolis. They came up through the Kelley School of Business. And the thing I love the most about them is they show such great respect for the schools that they work with. And they bring these old logos, you know, out that haven't been used. They bring them back. They breathe new life into them and really give you something unique and interesting to wear to show your support for your team through the ups and the downs. So go to homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Again, the website, homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And we will start with Coach. It is Tonsoni time. What is on your mind after this latest Indiana loss?
Well, home field apparel is fundamentally strong, unlike our Indiana Hoosiers. So, you know, make sure you go to homefieldapparel.com to buy some fundamentally good college apparel. Obviously, when you're down two starters, you're behind the eight ball, not making any excuses whatsoever. Indiana needed to play better with those starters, without those starters. I think the talent level, even without those two, was somewhat even, if not in Indiana's advantage, when you have Jalen Hood-Schifino and Trace Jackson-Davis. But this team lacks fundamentals. It doesn't close out well. It doesn't block out well. It doesn't pass. Too many one-handed passes, lazy passes, turnovers. And that's got to fall on the coaching staff to make sure that good habits are drilled into your players so that next man up can happen. I'm of the belief that a Coach Woodson-run team needs talent. He likes to rely on his players to call things and to run things and to make shots. As opposed to trying to, you know, joystick a team. And so when you have two players off, I think Coach Woodson's behind eight ball as well, because he's used to guys just stepping up and making plays in the NBA kind of way. So for Coach Woodson to be successful, he's got to recruit better. He's got to hit that transfer portal. He's got to do those things, and he's got to rely on having the right amount of talent. And right now, when you bring in young guys or backup guys, they're going to have some struggles, and we gotta live through those. You know, C.J. Gunn had a little sloppy catch, but C.J. Gunn needs to play. This is kind of it's not acceptable, but I think we're going to see a lot more of this as the season goes on, because the roster is just not where it needs to be for a Coach Woodson-led program of what he wants to do with his program, in my opinion. And so Indiana's got to claw and fight, and they almost did, but they didn't. And I'm trying to get mentally prepared to see a lot of this down the stretch.
Andy, your bottom's line on this Indiana performance.
Yeah, this is one where it feels like you got to kind of rein yourself in from thinking the absolute worst of everything, which I am probably the look on my face is, shows I'm attempting to do. But I mean, my synopsis of this game is a team showed up that really needed a win, looking wildly unprepared and unmotivated at the beginning of the game, and they never recovered. They got close by the end of the game. There were stretches of play that were good, but every time they really needed to bow up and do something, they gave up an easy basket, or they got out hustled to a loose ball, or they didn't come up with a rebound. And ultimately that's what it is. And part of that is on the players, and part of that is on the coaching staff. Starting the same lineup to start the second half that dug you a hole at the beginning of the game is unconscionable to me, based on what you saw. You finally saw them go small late in the game, and TJD had more room to operate. Now, maybe that's because Northwestern is trying to protect the three-point line and not give up threes and that give you some momentum at the end of the game. But when Kopp was at the four, or even in like CJ Gunn was at the four at one point, I think, or Galloway, you can, you know, take your pick of who it was, the amount of room in the middle of the floor was vastly different. I thought the zone was an interesting wrinkle, so I'm not going to say, hey, you made no adjustments in the game. I thought it was odd the way they used it and kind of sprinkled it in at times instead of really sticking with it for multiple possessions in a row, but it did throw Northwestern off at times. But the reality was you had two guys that showed up, scored the majority of the points. One of them, to your point, I thought had a lot of moments where they were really lackadaisical. I think that was the perfect word. Despite scoring a lot of points, and it was a lot the story of Iowa in that case. You had, you know, those two guys, somebody else needed to be able to step up. Somebody else needed to be put in a position to step up. And that was really a struggle. Even if you look at the guys who ended up with points at the end, Galloway ends up with 8 points. Part of that's on a banked in, you know, three at the horn. Scoop scored 4 points late in the game to get up to eight. But for the majority of the game, you didn't have anybody else besides those two guys that scored more than 5 points. And I get being down starters, but just getting completely worked in the first part of the game was probably what was the biggest struggle for me. And then you're spending your whole game, the whole rest of the game, trying to fight uphill. And I thought there were opportunities that they missed. We'll probably talk about one of those in the meaningful moments where they're at the free throw line with the front end with a chance to cut it to six, and you blink your eyes and it's 12. This just not a team, as Coach said, that's just fundamentally strong right now. And for all that everybody wants to say, this team going to hang its hat on defense and all the stuff that was there, this team was terrible defensively. after even after the game, Northwestern is ranked 161st in KenPom. That's after this game where IU gave up 1.2 points per possession. I mean, you hung 83 on a team that's a top 10 team in defensive efficiency, but you gave up easy basket after easy basket on turnovers, on lackadaisical play, on miscommunication, whatever else. So you get what you deserve in a scenario like that, and that is a loss.
Yikes. Well, Ryan, what's left to rant about?
Sorry, did I step on you a little bit?
It feels like it's the third rant of the day right here. Look, I'm going to go more macro with this than just this game. Let's just say what we all know from having 6 weeks. They're not a well-coached team. They are ill-prepared for everything. I mean, they didn't know anything Northwestern was going to be running, and Northwestern has run the same stuff all year. They had no counter. And then again, as Andy said, I think the most galling thing was to start the same starting five. Like Jordan Geronimo, God love him, he's trying. He's just not a great basketball player right now. Was he like minus 16 today or something? And you put him back out there to start again. It was clearly whatever matchup they had to start the game didn't work. Northwestern just wiped the floor with them. And again, repeat, like, think about that sentence. Northwestern wiped the floor with them. And I mean, that's just the state of the program right now. I know, and people, I saw people say, well, Northwestern's won some good. I don't care. You're at home against Northwestern with a decided talent advantage, and you can't beat them. Coming off a game where you went to Iowa, and you should have beaten them because they were at their low point of the year, and you gave them life. You go up 21, and then you give them life. It's back-to-back games where this team just doesn't follow through. And I'm not blaming the players anymore. I'm sorry. This continually happens. It happened last year. They step on the floor and they are ill-prepared to play basketball. And then when a team counters them, there's no counter back. They keep running the same stuff and banging their heads on the wall. Today they went zone for a little bit. And I was like, you know what? With how bad the defense is, try anything. And then they kept going out of it. And it's like Northwestern was struggling against it, yet they kept pulling out of it and changing it. And you know what? I just feel like there's no direction to the team or the program. I feel like offensively, you guys are talking about how, you know, it was Jalen Huccifino and Trace Jackson Davis and nobody else. Name one time they ran a play to get anybody else open. It's basically give the ball to Jalen Huccifino. They'll do the dribble handoff. Trace will set a screen for him. And then one of those two will finish the play. When was the last time they ran a set to get Miller Kopp an open shot? Miller Kopp's hitting 44% of his threes. When's the last time they ran anything to get him an open look? When's the last time they got an ISO for Tamar Bates out of the offense that wasn't Tamar Bates just getting a pass and just driving? That guy can add points to the roster quickly. You see it to the ledger quickly. You saw it today. You've seen it in the past. And they're just standing around while these other two guys do stuff. Like, those players need to be involved. You recruited them for a reason. They're talented and they could do stuff. They can help Indiana and they could take pressure off those other two guys. And there's nothing given to get those guys looks, to get them involved. They have to go find it themselves. And that is not how college basketball works. That's an NBA mindset of, well, if he's talented, he'll go get his shot. That's not what works with 18 to 20 year old kids in college basketball, unless they're a superstar, and you're not going to have five superstars on your roster. So this team is poorly coached and it needs to get better. And Mike Woodson needs to figure this out because it's rapidly going downhill. I mean, I get they've got injuries. I get that the Big Ten's tough, but you know what? Other teams have injuries. They figure it out. You're still 10 times more talented than Northwestern and you turned in that performance. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm out on this right now. They need to figure something out and figure it out fast. And there needs to be some sense of urgency from this program that I don't see right now.
You know, I was going to talk about Jalen Huccifino here because for what he didn't bring to the game in terms of defensive intensity at times and some of the lackadaisical turnovers, that was one of the most scintillating shooting and scoring performances we've seen. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, that was just a tremendous offensive performance that Indiana needed. However, I think we need to quickly veer to the right because I just saw a tweet that has me very concerned. Mike Woodson on defensive struggles. And I see this tweeted from several people. Xavier Johnson and Race Thompson are sitting on the sideline. That's why we're struggling. Now, maybe that quote needs more context. And so I'm going to allow some space for that. But I do have a problem with that sentiment Because, look, I think we all recognize that the hopes of, you know, an elite top 10 defense, which we talked about in the offseason and which seemed reasonable after what we saw last year, that's not possible without Xavier Johnson and Race Thompson. They're not going to be as good defensively. Fine. But there is no excuse for the type of defense Indiana played today. It's not just missing those guys. It's that collectively the defensive will that we saw last year and that we saw in the North Carolina game, that's not there. You can still play with fight and focus, coach, even if Race and Xavier aren't there. And so for that message to be coming down from the head coach, it almost seems to excuse what we saw, yes. And that's kind of how they played. So if that's the message, that has me really concerned because Race isn't coming back for, I mean, 3 or 4 weeks probably is kind of the hope. X, maybe he comes back. But is that our philosophy for how we turn the defense back around is just waiting for those
just
guys?
Wait.
I mean, that... Because that's what it looked like today, honestly. So the way we played kind of makes a little bit of sense if that's the message and the tone that's coming from the top. That's, again, I want to wait and see the full quote. But even just seeing that, I don't know, man. That's not the kind of leadership I think that's going to help this team play the kind of defense they need to win games in the Big Ten, which is extremely hard, even at full strength, is going to be even harder without those two guys. But it's not impossible. You had 4 top 35 recruits on the court at one time for a lot of this game today, you know? But they didn't play with the kind of grit and will that you need. And that's why Northwestern was better defensively, got to the loose balls. Boy, I got a problem with that.
You got to be careful as a coach in what you say in the media. And after you lose, it's always tough. Sometimes you say things that you don't really think through. But are you surprised? Because when the offense is bad, it's just because kids aren't making shots. There's something embedded in that if you really want to look deep. It's not Coach Woodson's offense. It's not Coach Woodson's defense. It's the players. The players aren't making shots. That's why Coach offense isn't working. The players are injured. That's why Coach Woodson's defense is not doing that. It's the third person stuff coming out. That I want to be careful here because I want to be supportive. But people who talk like that and think like that generally sometimes have trouble. I think you either texted it in our chat or maybe even tweeted it or I saw it somewhere, but something happened at the end of November, December, where this team has not had the juice. So it's not injuries. Injuries play a big part because defensively we're going to be worse without those two. That's honest. Those two are really good defenders, but it's your job as players and it's your job as a coach to go out and compete while they're injured. You can't just sit there and say, well, we're just going to roll out the ball and try to play defense because wait till those guys get back. That's a defeatist attitude. That's just not good. But I think this is more have been, besides all of the glamour of bringing an Indiana guy back and Mike Woodson back for the year and a half, he's had some of these comments like in his press conference. And some of it is I just think he just goes to the short answers. That's just who Mike is. He doesn't like to get into long discussions like a lot of coaches do. And every coach gives coach speak. So I just think, you know, he gave that short answer, which is a true answer. Our defensive struggles start, and it does start with those two guys missing. But I don't like that either if the context doesn't come out that it was within something different. Because you got 8, 9, 10, 15 games, whatever left. Find a defense that works. Change, you know, and to his credit, the zone was a good adjustment. I thought it helped. So, you know, he did that. It's a good job that he did that. Now, I think it was a little late in the second half. I think he could have gone sooner. And I said that Friday in the Banner Friday. He's making adjustments. It's just 4 or 5 minutes late. And then Ryan said it. He goes away from some of those things that work.
Trust
work
your
well.
Adjustments.
So, he's got a playbook. He understands the game. He's just got to have a feel for the college game is missing, in my opinion. But you can't just blame players for shooting, and you can't just blame guys for being out. You got to find a way to compete. And the guys didn't compete defensively, and they didn't take care of the basketball, and that's on the program. And you're the head honcho.
Yeah.
So
no, I'll say this: when Tom Crean said, "Well, you got to make shots," we made fun of him. When Archie Miller said, "You got to make shots," we made fun of him. And when Mike Woodson's saying the same thing, you got to treat it the same way. There's way more to it than that. And there's a way to, as we said, run things for guys, get guys open, put guys in good situation. If one of your players is getting beat like a drum defensively, take him the hell out of the game and adjust what you're doing defensively. The zone, I quite frankly think they should have started the second half in the zone. Like they really should have just to see what Northwestern did. But I don't understand a lot of the decisions. I don't understand a lot of the lineup choices. I don't understand what they're doing behind the scenes. I don't understand a lot of stuff, and I don't know what the coaching staff is really doing other than maybe, you know, then changing things up, as coach said, 5 minutes late. I know they go to a lot of games with Montverde guys playing in it. That's about all I can tell discernibly that they all do. And I'm all for that. Go recruit the hell out of those guys. But like, what are we doing on the court to change things up and make things
okay
better? It's looked the exact same since Kansas.
Ryan, help me with this, because I don't like the offense at all, but we have the 21st most efficient offense according to KenPom. What are we seeing that those numbers don't support, right?
Well, Jalen and Trace are making a ton of individual plays.
The individual plays is one. I think the other thing is we're in a lot of high-scoring games. So opposing right. team, I mean, no matter, you know, it's very rare in college basketball that like two decent teams or Power 5 teams, one scores 80 and one scores 50. Like, right. you know, I mean, it's because you get loose when you start scoring a lot of points. And so I think that's lifting Indiana a lot. And I think you have a guy like Trace Jackson Davis who can score 30 points. It makes it easier to get some baskets. But yeah, I think that's what it is.
I just struggle with myself sometimes not liking the offense and then going and looking. Oh, and last year we were 95th and now we're 21st. You would think that's great improvement, right?
They're certainly hitting a higher percentage of threes. I think that's a big thing. And it's a huge bonus. But at the same time, like, it feels like they're scoring a lot of those points when they're down 10, 15 points and coming back, and they get
it close. That's the trouble with stats.
And then it pulls apart, and then they get it close, but there's no time left to get over the hump. Like today, you know, they're down 4 at the end, and the game's over, but Trey Galloway bombs in a half quarter. That was just a microcosm for me the entire season. It's a get down 15, and then you crawl and scratch and get back, and then they stretch it back out to 12 again, and then it's 2 minutes left and you score 6 straight points to make it look closer than it was. That's how it's felt this year.
Andy, you want the last word on this?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to the defense a little bit. Much to my chagrin. I think a couple things that you see, and I think you saw this even when they played zone. The amount of times where guys get crossed up and there's miscommunication and you got somebody pointing here and there. There was a play where I think early in the second half, you know, Northwestern ends up with maybe it was the first half, you know. Northwestern runs a screen, Bates and Kopp get hung up. They both stay with the same guy. Guy flares to the wing. It's a wide open three. The amount of miscommunication on screens and things like that that you continue to see with this team is really alarming. And I even mentioned it, I think when I talked about being at the Elon game, assistants were up yelling at guys about screens and communicating on those. Like, that continues to be a problem. And that was a problem sometimes in the zone. There were a couple cases where they gave up open looks because the guy on the baseline is rotating up too far and can't get back to where he needs to be because they're not sure when to switch off that. Now, I don't know how much they've actually even practiced zone. There was even a play where Kopp started in the corner and ended up being one of the guys on the top, and Gunn had to go cover, you know, one of the baseline spots for him. So I don't know if that was done on the fly, in which case maybe some of that stuff is more notable. But this team, if they can't contain the dribble any better than they did today, I think we're going to see more zone from this team. So it's one thing I'd look at to see, can they get better at communicating in those scenarios and passing people off as they move from one area to the other? Because I think even today, they didn't get burned by that. They got burned by other things at times. But the zone was a little bit effective, and I'm sure caught Northwestern off guard because it wasn't something that IU had done at all. But if they want to play it more, and I think it has to be viewed as a viable option for this team because they can't contain people off the dribble with any consistency. They need to get better at that piece because communication is equally important there. And that's an area where they've proven to struggle in a man-to-man defense as well.
Yeah. One thing to note is, and give Northwestern credit because they got whatever they wanted offensively. Coach can back me up on this. They weren't doing anything complicated. It was usually a screen and roll, or a guy would get switched on to somebody he was better than, just straight line drive him to the basket and, you know, or jump stop, move around. Everybody would help and you get somebody open. Like, it was so basic and simple. And look, Northwestern is very fundamental and well-schooled in that way, so they weren't hurting themselves. But Indiana just couldn't stop simple things. They could get to the basket. Northwestern was either getting a layup or a wide-open three on pretty much every possession. It was just a matter of whether or not they made the shot. I mean, and nothing changed. And as you said, Jared, they had 4 top 35 recruits on the floor together for long stretches of that game, and you're that much better than them. how do you let that happen? How are you not just like out athleting them at that point? Like, I know that's not how basketball works, but at some point, on some possession, you have to just be a better player than them and stop them. And it didn't happen all day. It did not happen all day. I mean, even Trace, you know, and I know he's playing with a back injury. There were times where Trace would just get way over help on someone. There's a guy behind him for a dunk, or he gets beat down the floor and there's a dunk. And it, like, it's just a general lack of focus and effort. That's all it is defensively.
That's going back to the communication piece. The first time they played zone, there's a possession next, and no one knew if they were in zone or man. Half the guys were in man and half were in zone. So that goes to your communication piece right there. And that, sometimes that happens, but again, good teams don't have that. Someone on the floor takes leadership, or the coaches are communicating that you're staying in, whatever the call, whatever that call is. And Northwestern runs stuff, and they're fundamental. I mean, I'm just going to go back to saying that. Coach Collins has struggled other than the 1 year he went to the tournament. But they are fundamental, whether it was simple and non-complex stuff, handoffs and ball screens, and then getting the right matchups. That's what college coaches do to take advantage of stuff. And six turnovers speaks to the fundamental play of a team that's not talented. And, Ryan, we did out-talent them. That's why it was only a one-point loss.
Yeah,
that's why it was only one. It probably should have been 15-20 the way, you know, the fundamentals, the defense, the blocks, the steals. And Northwestern is one of the best teams in getting steals and getting blocks. So kudos again to Northwestern. They played really, really well. But the reason it was one is because we have better talent, even with the two guys being absent. And that's ultimately the frustration.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had, you know, the two best players on the floor, Jalen Huchefino and Trace Jackson Davis, and we lost. You know, you should win games when you have the two best players on the floor, but all those other reasons, you know, Northwestern, they're essentially using the formula that Indiana wanted, which is play really good defense, have a couple of really good experienced guards, and play tough, and let's go win, you know, and they did, and we didn't. So, as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's one-point loss to Northwestern, we'll point out today's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You are listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Anthony Leal. What's the only thing better than being a hometown Hoosier? Having a friendly place to hang out online after IU games, no matter where in the world you may be. So join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach right here after every IU basketball game.
All right, thank you, Anthony. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with a full roster. Coach Brian Tonsoni, Andy Bottoms, Ryan Phillips, all here with me breaking down Indiana's loss to Northwestern. And it is time now for... Yes, meaningful moments you might have missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. So I definitely think this is going to be a space to talk about CJ Gunn, because I think he had a terrific meaningful moment providing a spark for Indiana in the first half. But Andy, you know, as I kind of look through my list here of moments that I have, you know, a lot of them are just examples of lackadaisical defense. You know, one, for example, Jalen Hood-Schifino, who, again, was scintillating offensively. Just a terrific offensive game from him. But, you know, the one image I can't get out of my head is he drove. This is back in the first half. He drove. He got stripped. He ended up falling to the ground. And it was a good 5, 6, 7 seconds before he ever got back into the frame to get back into play transition. And it ended up leading to a 3 for Northwestern as they had a 5-on-4. There was another play late in the second half where it was either a free throw or a long 3. And Northwestern missed it. And the ball must have bounced between 3 Indiana players who just weren't ready to get it. Northwestern got it, you know, gained a valuable possession. And then you know, you recall late in the game, Andy, several front ends of 1-and-1. Scoop missed one. Jalen Hood-Schifino missed one. And in a game that ends up being a one-possession game, those little things create the margin. If any one of those things goes differently, you know. But again, this was a game where Indiana, they allowed Northwestern to just get an abnormal amount of 50-50 opportunities. And the only thing that you can that you can attribute that to is just a lack of focus and fight. And Indiana had it in spurts, but they didn't have enough of it today. And so, you know, to me, there are so many meaningful moments that stick out of a team that just wasn't ready for the little moments that happen throughout a game that actually end up leading to winning and losing. Because you shoot 9 of 18 from 3-point range, and you know, you get 11 offensive rebounds, you have two guys have the kind of, you know, day that Trace and Jalen had, you should win the game. But you didn't, because so many of those little things added up across the day for Indiana.
Yeah, there's a number of times I wrote down in the notes that I took about just getting out hustled to a loose ball here or there. But I think the biggest one is the front end of that, the 1-on-1 that was missed. I think that came right after Galloway had played great defense. It was really the same possession. Ends up diving on the floor, gets a timeout. It's an 8-point game at that point. It's one of those where it's like you needed the timeout to retain possession, but you almost wish that the game would have just kept going, because you get a little bit of time, everybody relaxes a little bit, and then you know, you get back in. And they didn't really play well in that stretch, but they end up, you know, Bates gets fouled. Chance to go down 6 if you make both, and he missed the front end, which happens, but certainly unfortunate timing as you go through with that. And then, you know, the subsequent plays after that, the inability to really say, okay, hey, we're going to get another chance. You'll give up a straight line drive for a layup after that. We settle for a mid-range jump shot early in the shot clock after that. Then Northwestern runs the clock down. We bail them out with a foul at the end. Make a turnover, renew fouls again, and then it's a 12-point game at that point. Like, I mean, like, nothing just happened. And you missed the front end of a 1-and-1 and got one shot, turned the ball over once, and you gave up scores on 3 straight possessions. You can argue with some of the foul calls. You can argue with how the game was officiated. But, like, that was a stretch where you had a chance to really put game pressure on them with a meaningful amount of time left in the game. The problem was that the game pressure, by the time IU got close enough at the end, it really wasn't. I mean, there was a little bit of pressure on them, but not that much. At that point, there's still, you know, 6 minutes in the game. If you're really able to get it to that point, you've got the momentum and things like that. I just thought that was a huge swing in that stretch. But there were any number of other times during the game, as you mentioned, when IU's got a chance to make a play and they didn't come up with a loose ball, and Northwestern more often than not converted that by either getting fouled or getting another open shot, things like that. But that's that was the biggest stretch to me, was, I mean, a huge swing to go from chance to go down 6 to going down 12 or 13 like that.
Yeah. Coach, you know, I mentioned CJ Gunn. You know, Northwestern gets out to a 34-17 lead, and things really felt dead. I mean, the arena was dead. There was just so little energy. I mean, really, again, you know, outside of Trace, who I thought, you know, brought it and was rebounding as tough as he's rebounded all season long, there was just no one bringing a whole lot of juice. And I thought CJ Gunn, once he got in the game, really kind of lit a fire under Indiana. Just, you know, he hit that little pull-up jumper. Now, I know he went 1-for-5, so he didn't make any of his other shots. But he had a hard drive into the basket, didn't avoid contact, you know, probably should have gotten a foul called. And was, like, the only guy putting pressure on the ball, like serious, you know, pressure on the ball. And, you know, so he ends up, you know, leading to a boo-booey miss, which didn't happen a ton today. But that led to a 7-0 run. You know, Trace had a couple of assists to Malik Renew and Miller Kopp in that stretch. And it took it to a 34-24 game and really gave Indiana some life. You know, and that was nice to see. And we've seen that from CJ. And so he, you know, right now, you know, he ended up playing 15 minutes and didn't have as big an impact in the second half of the game. You know, he's a guy who's probably best in short spurts. But once again, you know, did what he needs to do, which is come in and be that energy guy off the bench. And I tip my cap to him because Indiana needed someone to do it in the first half. And CJ was able to do it. And it really seemed to spark Indiana and get them back within reach there in the first half.
Absolutely. I like CJ's game. It's in development, obviously. You know, he's very handsy defensively. He's going to get called for some fouls, but he also gets a lot of deflections. And I think that he did bring that spark, and I was glad to see it. And I think, you know, I've mentioned somewhere that this is now a developmental season more than it is, you know, you want to win and you want to get to the tournament, but it also needs to be a developmental season to get ready for next year. And CJ Gunn is a big part of that. He's got to get enough run. He's got to get these 15 minutes to 20 minutes. And you're going to have to live with some, you know, sloppy handoffs. He had a little sloppy pass on the wing once that resulted in a turnover. You're going to have that from a freshman because you got to learn in game time. And he's going to get beat on a closeout. But the dude's got to play. He's athletic. He can leap. His shooting has not been what we think it should be yet, you know, very low teens or whatever. But at this point, with two starters out, I don't think you question at all that he should get 15 to 20 minutes on a regular basis and probably should have played more in that second half, especially the way that same starting group came off to a tough start. Would have loved to seen small ball with a little CJ Gunn in there before the 6:40 mark or whenever Indiana did go small.
Andy. Yeah, with CJ, for me, I thought the things that stood out the most, one was his pressure on the ball, which stood out above what other people were doing, but also his willingness to attack on the defensive end. I know you referenced the play that he probably got fouled on through that, but I kind of felt like Northwestern really set the tone early. They're grabbing guys off cuts. They're bumping everybody. They're daring officials to call fouls, you know, standard Big Ten tackle basketball. They weren't going to do it, but he wasn't afraid to go in and try to make something happen. I just thought he was aggressive, and the mistakes he made were ones of being aggressive as opposed to unfocused or unwilling to really attack and do things like that. I thought the one inbounds play, he really had good elevation on that jump shot. I thought that was going to go in, missed a three shortly thereafter. But I think a guy that you probably need to see a little bit more from just because he is going to give up some straight line drives. But other guys are doing that and putting forth less effort on the ball. He at least was disruptive. And so I think some good minutes from him. I thought he was the spark that they needed in the first half, and was a little bit surprised he didn't, as coach said. I think I marked down, and I could have marked this down wrong, so take that with a grain of salt, but it was 70-57, I think, when they switched and started playing small with Kopp at the four. Now, we can argue they put on a little bit at the end of the game, but that tells me you outscored him by 12, and even if you take that three away at the end, you outscored him by 9 once you went small. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think that's something that we've seen the last couple of games. So not to go back and beat the drum on that again. So I won't. But
yeah, I mean, look, guys, this was a really big spot for Jordan Geronimo. You know, he comes in, he gets a chance to start. Obviously, he has an athleticism advantage in this game. You know, it's not, you know, on the road. This should have been a game where he was able, and they don't have a guy like Chris Murray who just presents all these defensive challenges for him. This should have been a game where he was able to get something done. And in 10 minutes, he doesn't score and gets 2 rebounds. You know, and I saw, you know, Coach Woodson said, we've probably got to do something else to the starting lineup. You know, I don't want to blame it on Jordan, but, you know, we've got to get off to better starts. Maybe a thought that would have been helpful at the beginning of the second half. You know, unfortunately, Jordan is just really struggling. And we're all rooting as hard as possible for him. But, you know, right now he's just not giving Indiana any kind of production, and for him to not be able to produce in a game like this at home, I think is a really big red flag. You know, as we move forward.
I mean, just real quick, Jared, he was minus 16 in 10 minutes. Like, it's just the team's not good with him on the floor, whether that's his fault or not, whether it's the way he pairs with these other guys or whatever it is. the team just isn't good with him on the floor right now, especially for, you know, with that starting group. Like, he's supposed to be sort of like Trey Galloway's best position is as energy off the bench and coming in and, you know, scrapping after guys and, you know, chase down blocks and all that. He's not a primary guy, and he probably never will be until he can hit threes consistently and handle the ball consistently. Because every time Jordan gets the ball and starts to dribble, you're just waiting for something bad to happen. And it's just a matter of learning those fundamentals and getting better at them. But I just think that having him on the floor and expecting starters minutes out of him is a fool's errand. And I thought it was a silly way to go today, quite frankly, with the decision.
Breaking news in the chat. Andy Bottoms has just informed us that Grace Berger is starting for the women today. Are you serious? That's awesome. Holy moly. Okay, so good news. Good basketball news for Indiana with Grace Berger.
They put the graphic out with who the starters were, and she's on it. So I have no reason to believe they would mislead us.
All right.
Okay. Let some intern really screwed up.
That's all right. You know what? We need hope. So even if she's not starting, just tell us that she is. Give us a brief respite of hope here. Go Hoosiers. Hopefully they can take care of Northwestern. Guys, let's talk about numbers. You know, and as I look at the numbers, I mean, look, turnovers, you know, 16 turnovers, and I think Northwestern, I mean, they turned almost every one of those turnovers into points, which really, you know, was a huge part of this game. But, you know, Ryan, you mentioned something earlier, you know, the three-point shooting was a bonus or it was nice. And it does kind of feel like that a little bit, because it feels like three-point shooting is a bit of an afterthought for this team right now, which it shouldn't be. Indiana goes 9 of 18 from downtown today. They are now shooting 38.2% on the season. That is 21st in the country.
Yeah.
However, I'm not happy with that number. You know why? Because that number should be down, because Indiana should be taking more threes. Indiana, once again, took less than 30% of its shots from three. They are 305th in the country in three-point attempt rate. And for a team that's struggling to get anything going, you know, and especially there, like the 3 or 4 minute mark, when we knew we had to get a three-pointer, do we not have anything we can run to free up a three-pointer, to get one for Kopp, to get one for Scoop? You know, and so seeing the 9
Look
of 18.
At most of those three-pointers today, Jared. They were Jalen Schifino making an individual play and making a three-pointer.
Totally. And again, in a game where you lose by one, I mean, there's so many little things that add up to this. But this is a team now that has three guys in the starting lineup making over 40% of their threes at a reasonable volume. Guys taking, you know, 3, 4, 5 threes a game. This is not a fluke, but it's not a big enough part of our offense. And I know we talked about it at the beginning of the season. Everybody's like, but we're winning anyway. Yeah, but you know what? You create habits. And the habit that was created is everything is focused inside, and I get it, you know, because of Trace. But this team is demonstrating that the offense needs to be more heavily weighted outside the line. And it's just not. And to me, it's another big-time missed opportunity. Now, I'll give Northwestern some credit, because I thought they defended Indiana on the perimeter really well. And they're a really good defensive team. But, you know, when you're looking for answers and your defense is struggling, so you have to increase the offensive volume, the three-point shooting has to become a bigger feature of this team. And so I look at that, and I look at the 9 of 18, and I'm excited, but I'm frustrated because that number needs to be up higher. And you've got to find ways. If it's not coming out of the normal flow of your offense, run some plays to take some pressure off of your injured big man who played 40 minutes to free up guys who are proving they can make shots. I don't know what is so hard about this.
Jared, I have rarely seen a team that's easier to close out on than Indiana. And the reason they're easier to close out on is because guys aren't that far from the open shooter. And it takes two steps to get in the face. That's why Miller Kopp wants to shoot. He's out there. You can see he's ready. He'll catch the ball and a guy will be on him immediately. And yeah, sometimes you do have to force it with a guy on you. I think that that's, you know, something you should do. But a good offensive player knows, hey, if I don't have the shot, let's move it and get me another look or something like that. And he's just not getting those opportunities. Miller Kopp shooting 44%. And when was the last time we saw him with a wide open look that came out of the offense as opposed to a scramble situation or a kick out when a defender overhelped? Like, he's not getting those looks. Why? You have him on the floor to be a three-point shooter and a leader and all that, but his main skill is to hit threes, and you have him out there to do that, and all you have him doing in the offense is standing on the wing waiting for somebody to find him. That's it. There's no movement. There's no
That's
running.
That's just the design of the offense.
It is, and it's
drive and kick or throw it in the post. If it's single coverage, then TJD gets to play one-on-one. If it's double team, then you kick it out for a stand, a catch and shoot three. That's the design of the offense. That's Coach Woodson's offense.
And that's the thing, Coach, and we both know this. Just because it's drive and kick or it's toss in and kick out, you can still do stuff on the perimeter to get guys better looks, get guys better angles. And they're not. They stand around. And you're right. That's the design of the offense. But guess what? When that ball goes into Trace Jackson Davis, you can have a backside wing guy cut through. You can have your other guy cut across the face of that post up. Hope that maybe his man stays to try and double. And then you have a guy open on the perimeter for wide open.
Ryan, I don't watch the league very much, but I don't think they run much for shooters. It's all individual play, or it's drive and kick and post feed. And then shoot over someone because you can elevate over someone. They don't run a stagger double or anything like that.
The league runs concepts. The league runs concepts. So the offense will be a concept, and you just run out of that. You're basically on your own. And unless you need a basket badly, you've got a set play to run. Like, you know,
and that's what we do here at Indiana. That's just what it is. And we either got to embrace it or sit on here and bitch about it all the time. And
I'm picking option B.
Easier to embrace it if you beat Northwestern at home with it. I mean,
if you take, still got to take care of the basketball. The pros take care of the basketball. The good pros.
What? The pros are better. I mean, because they're pros.
Talented.
They're better, and they can make shots that are contested. They can get to a spot to get a pull up, get to a spot to get to the rim. Like, you're never going to have that much talent on a team in college basketball. And so relying on a professional offense with guys who aren't professionals is silly. And look, plenty of other NBA guys have come down to college and done the same exact thing. This is not unique to Mike Woodson. And virtually every time it has failed because you're used to having one type of player and you come down here and you expect the same out of a different type of player and you're not going to get it. The thing is, NBA guys, for the most part, are very well-rounded and can kind of do everything. If you got a shooter, he can drive a little bit and he can play defense. In college, a lot of times you get one-trick pony guys who are okay at some other things. But the guy, you know, you have a guy, he's a shooter, and he can play a little bit of defense. But
Miller Kopp. Yeah. Use him.
You've got a big guy. He's not going to be Kevin Durant stepping out on the floor draining threes. He's a big guy. That's what he does. The point guards are just point guards who sometimes can have a good scoring game. Like, it's very, you know, and again, 90% of these guys aren't going to play professionally. Even at Indiana, they might go to Europe for a little bit, but they're not NBA level guys. And so you can't run an offense designed for NBA level guys when you don't have a team full of NBA level guys. It's that simple. Avery Johnson failed at it. Plenty of other guys have failed at it. And there have been guys that go college pro and then come back and go like, why can't I run the same stuff I was just running in the NBA? Because the players aren't the same. It's a different game with a different type of player. I've said it before. The difference between college basketball and the NBA is the difference between softball and baseball. It's a completely different game. And the concepts in some degree do translate, but the offenses, the defensive sets, you just can't run it because you don't have 6'8 guys who can knock down shots and are super athletic all across your roster. You just don't. And so it's on the coaching staff to figure that out and to change what they're doing to mold it to their roster. And that has been very slow in the first 2 years under Mike Woodson.
Yeah. And Andy, you know, it made it especially frustrating watching Northwestern just continually find Miller Kopp and switches against Boo Booey in the second half. You knew that despite his best efforts, he's going to get cooked because that's just a bad matchup. But knowing that there aren't going to be opportunities for him on the other end to help make up for those points lost. And I do not blame Miller for that. So anyway, that is a horse that is so dead because we've been beating it for 2 years now, and I apologize, but I mean, it continues to come up.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, you know, you're going to give up something if you play small, but you also have things that are going to work to your advantage. You got to find a way so that those net out in a positive way for you. He's going to fight on defense, but he's not going to be able to stay with guards. And, you know, I thought Northwestern, even when you go back to the beginning of the game and some of the comments about Geronimo, they did a good job of making IU's, lesser defenders. They put them in a position where they had to make a choice. And more often than not, they didn't make the right choice. And they didn't communicate well enough. And they basically set IU's guys up. I mean, that's ultimately what college basketball is more than anything, as we talk about differences between that and the pros, it's finding those matchups and exploiting them and finding ways to do that. And I thought IU allowed themselves to be exploited, but did not find ways to take advantage of matchups that they had on the other end. And again, I go back to how much more room did Trace have later in the game to operate when he got the ball, even on those middle ball screens. He had the nice play toward the end where Adige fouled him on the, you know, pick and roll in the middle, because you don't have another big guy clogging the lane. I mean, how long did he play with Renew over the course of the game where there's just no room to do anything? And it just is, you know, another thing that goes back to the coaching piece. But yeah, I thought Northwestern did a far, far better job of finding and taking advantage of matchups defensively than IU did.
Coach Tonsoni, any numbers that you would like to cite from this game?
40 minutes. Too much for Trace Jackson Davis. Jeez. I know we want to win, and I know he's a super stud, and anyone who considered him, you know, to question him the last couple nights playing through that injury, but 40 minutes is too much, period. 40 minutes when you have a strained back or whatever the issue is with his back, you got to find him 4 or 5 minutes, 2 minutes before the 12-minute timeout, something, because – you're going to have him for what, another 2 or 3 games. And then all of a sudden something's going to rear up where, you know, it worries me that we're overtaxing a guy who's hurt. I thought he had a lot more agility and jump and explosion today than he did coming back at Iowa. So, you know, whatever rehab he did, and just, I'm thankful for TJD. I love what he's trying to do. But you could see at times he was tired. A couple of the kickouts got tipped and deflected, and missing a couple shots that he normally would hit because he's fatigued. And, you know, you have to give credit for him not wanting to come out in a situation. But, again, you got to trust someone to get 4 to 6 minutes at least. To give him a break or scheme something. That's a time you can run stuff for your three-point shooters if you have them out, or change a defense up if you don't have your rim protection in there. I just don't like seeing a young man being taxed like that at any point, let alone with the injury.
Yeah, Logan Duncombe's given Indiana some decent minutes this year. Yeah, and this is a spot where the potential athleticism disadvantage isn't as big for him. How does he not play at all today?
I don't know why.
Yeah. But Renew was okay today. Not great.
Yeah.
He played better.
Yeah, he
can play
better.
Those minutes. Give him some minutes.
Look, man, 40 minutes was a lot for me, and I was just watching it. I can't imagine what Trace was going through on the court. But you're right, Coach. You're just taxing your best player and wearing him down. I get there are other guys injured, and this is his senior season, and he's playing like an All-American. I mean, anybody who looks at Trace Jackson Davis and thinks that's not an All-American is ridiculous. I mean, he's the last couple of games, even in losses. And the thing that sucks is that you've lost these two games and by a total of 3 points, and I think that overshadows what he's done. You know, he's been unbelievable. And it's
yeah,
really
you know,
a game.
This is one of those games. I mean, I know Trace is more of a guy to lead through actions, and he hasn't always been a vocal guy. I would have loved that he would have been well within his right to just have a screaming fit at the other guys, you know, in a timeout or at some point. And, you know, I'm not criticizing him for not doing it. You have to be yourself, you know, as a leader and as a player. But it's like, come on, guys. I mean, this guy is out here injured, giving you everything he's got, and it didn't feel like the other guys rose up enough to do some of those things. You know, Andy, you're nodding. Why don't you finish this off here and take that and then cite any other numbers that you have.
And I feel like I should come back to this because this will be a better thing to talk about than the numbers that I had flagged on here. But for the sake of continuity, I'll continue down that road. I thought, you know, for an All-American type guy, this was not a game the officials lost. I thought they were bad. There were a couple of really questionable calls, but man, terrible. I mean, I don't know how you're
like the possession where Trace got fouled 3 straight times and they didn't
and
call
you
it.
You can't get some of these calls going to the rim. I mean, my God, at least can you look out for these guys at all?
And there were at least two where
they called
fouls
as many fouls in the beginning of the first 8 minutes of the second half as they did the whole thing. Northwestern had 4 fouls until the last minute of the game, and they were aggressive defensively.
Yeah. And there was one where they called Tamar for bumping a guy on a rebound where he didn't even touch him. And there was another where I forget who it was.
Ondi's reverse was where nobody touched him.
Nobody touched him.
Just fantastic work by the Big Ten's finest. But I'm like you. I don't know how you can't, as a teammate, watch Trace out there gutting it out and trying to do everything he can. And I really thought, even some of his instances of trying to lead the break were sometimes better than other guys that we had leading it. And that led to a lot of his assists. I thought that was one thing that I didn't really play through him and get points. He only had one assist in the second half. I don't view that as a criticism of him necessarily, but I thought that was something IU was pretty effective at doing, is really playing through him in the first half. They didn't do that as much, it felt like, in the second. But yeah, I mean, just a gutty performance. I think he struggled a little bit to move defensively, both I think the amount of times that he played, but also just a couple cases where you thought he might normally get a block. I just thought he couldn't do it. But he guarded some of the perimeter guys on switches pretty well in that regard. So just a really, really gutty performance from him. And disappointed that it's overshadowed by that. Now, if you want to look at absolutely terrible stats, you could talk about the 16 IU turnovers, of which 14 of them were steals. That led to 25
it's just being Northwestern loose points.
I mean, 25-6 in points off turnovers. Northwestern shot twice as many free throws as IU and outscored IU in the paint. So you can go whichever one you want. I mean, the steals thing is just ridiculous because that's live ball turnovers that are just putting you
and there were a fewer guys
already poor defensive team.
There were
a situation where you're having to scramble.
There were a few of those too in the first half where nobody ran back on defense.
No,
or they jogged. I mean, there's one where Jalen gave it up and he was standing there like waiting for somebody else to come get the ball in Indiana, and then Northwestern had two guys get to it before IU, and then Jalen just jogged back on defense. And it early morning game, there's no intensity
had to get
in the
in.
Building like like just the frustration like I get it
over an hour,
and he's a, so and he's a freshman and he's a freshman, but like you make that turnover, you gotta be the first one back. Like every goddamn time, you gotta be the first one back.
The other thing those live ball turnovers do for a team that we've already said is struggling defensively in the half court, you're just exaggerating your weakness.
Yes.
Because those aren't even normal situations. You're struggling to guard in normal situations. But giving up 25 points off of 14 turnovers, points per possession on that
incredibly
are
incredibly efficient.
Ungodly. I mean, you're almost at 2 points every time you turn the ball over on a turnover, almost 2 points per possession. No, that's not good math. I was using the steals number as the denominator there, but nonetheless, not good. And you're just exaggerating.
And you're a math guy too.
You're exaggerating flaws that you have by just being careless with the ball. And a lot of the dribble handoffs, I mean, Northwestern's just jumping those. A lot of those were just kind of, lazy handoffs, or you got to be able to read, hey, this isn't here. I can't just try to pitch the ball to this guy.
I will back the other way.
Aggressive and jumping those. And, not to sound like old guy in the barbershop somewhere, but like, can we get a back cut? For the love of God, they're overplaying so much, on the perimeter. Like, can we one time like run some kind of 1-4 set and take advantage of that and get somebody a layup going to the basket? I mean, the answer clearly is no. But
I gotta say, guys,
never used Northwestern's aggressiveness defensively against them. A little bit got them in foul trouble as the game went on, but for the most part, did not take advantage of that whatsoever.
I gotta say, guys, I could really picture Andy sitting around with a bunch of old guys at a barber shop just complaining about Indiana basketball. Mostly Indiana football. I could see it about Indiana football a lot. In fact, I want to produce that television show. The numbers that jump out to me, Jared, are Northwestern shot 46% from the field. Indiana shot 51.6%. Northwestern shot 36.8% from the three-point line, and Indiana shot 50% and made two more threes than Northwestern did and somehow lost. Like, Indiana, 40 rebounds to 32 for Northwestern. I mean, like, across the board, you're looking at, like, these numbers. Northwestern shot 67% from the free throw line, 67.9. Indiana shot 71. The numbers you need Indiana needs to hit, they hit. The problem, as Andy pointed out, was the turnovers and steals and easy runouts. And the fact that Northwestern outscored Indiana in the paint by two is staggering. And I'll say also Indiana 15 of 26 on layups. They missed 11 layups. And I know Northwestern has a really good 2-point defense, but still, I mean, if you have Trace Jackson Davis, you should not be missing layups. Trace missed 11 shots. I assume most of those missed layups are his.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ryan, you know, one of the things I mentioned before the game, you know, this team isn't going to be as good defensively without X and Race. Fine. We understand that. So shot volume has to become part of the formula for this team to win, which means reducing turnovers, getting more offensive rebounds, and just, you know, getting more shots up than your opponent. And this plagued Indiana against Iowa. It plagued Indiana today because when they get shots on the basket, they're efficient. And they actually did a pretty good job on the glass today, but the turnovers killed them. And so Northwestern ends up taking one more field goal attempt and whatever it was, you know, 10 more free throws. It's a big difference in the game, you know, but that comes down to a lot of times just loose balls, taking care of the ball, giving your team a chance to have more opportunities. And Northwestern was just, even though they weren't as good at converting their opportunities, they were smarter about conserving their opportunities and at least getting shots up and giving themselves a chance. And Indiana did not. And that's how you have more talent and are more efficient offensively and still lose a basketball game. So
the turnovers were just sloppy too.
Yes.
They weren't aggressive trying to make plays. They were just flinging the ball wherever you want without looking. That's where the fundamental comment of mine, it just teams look better fundamentally than Indiana. And so more so than the loss, just the way these turnovers and happened and the way the closeouts on defense happen and the lack of juice and energy for the first 10, 12 minutes. And sometimes when you have a shocking injury, there's two ways teams can come out. Like, you can come out and just be focused and crazy and go get yourself a win. That lasts maybe a game or two, and then reality hits in. Or sometimes you just feel like this team felt like they were approaching the game as, oh, man, I feel sorry about our luck. I want to win, but I just feel sorry, instead of trying to take the bull by the horns and make something happen. And when they got pushed, the response was all right. They responded at times with enough effort and that, but it's a 40-minute effort, and yeah, there is a little next man up mentality. Indiana is wounded, but you either are wounded and give up, or you're wounded and fight for 40, not fight for 22 or 23, whatever we want to say. But the turnovers were sloppy, just bad. And that, you know, is that the offense? Is that the players not caring? Is that the coaches not instilling good habits? So probably a little bit of everything, but it's just not good fundamental basketball. And you can't win in this league with the coaches and the players in this league, regardless of what we think of programs, if you're not fundamentally sound on both ends.
Yeah. And that was everybody, you know, Jalen and Trace. Yeah. I mean, they played the most minutes, so it stands to reason they're probably going to have more turnovers. And they did. They had 9 of Indiana's 16 turnovers. You know, a lot of Jalen's were just kind of lackadaisical, and Trace had some of those in the second half, and you can explain it with whatever you want. But at the end of the day, this isn't a very good passing team. We haven't seen the fundamentals grow and improve. And that is one of the many reasons why we get results like this.
Yeah, there was one from Renew, but I think there was others where it's just like there's a much easier pass to make, and I forget who it was. I know it was Audiz that got the deflection, but it's like just make the easy pass and get the ball going up the court, where they were trying to play so fast. I think trying to maybe get down before Northwestern got their defense set up. But yeah, just some like that were, you worked hard, you actually got, you know, you got a stop, you got a rebound, and then you just gave the ball right back away in a situation like that. And just were too quick to relax in those situations. End of the first half, perfect example. This had nothing to do with the turnover, but you score a basket from Trace, and the Northwestern guy runs down the middle of the floor and gets a dunk. Just too quick to relax, and that lack of focus really plagued them on the turnovers, on defensive breakdowns, the whole thing. So that's another dead horse I think we've beaten at this point.
Yeah, and again, and that stuff, that the injuries don't affect that stuff. You know, you can focus and make good fundamental plays no matter who's out there on the court. But if you have players injured and you're making fundamental mistakes, it all just compounds. And that's what happened today to Indiana. All right, coming up on the Assembly Call in our final segment, we'll hand out our game balls and Hoosier Hustle Award. And we'll discuss some lingering questions and look ahead to what Indiana has coming up Wednesday. That is a big game in Happy Valley for these Hoosiers. That's next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate Finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. JJ has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
This is Ethan Happ, and I never listen to the assembly call, especially the episodes that Ryan is on.
Thank you, Ethan. So since we all need a smile, I don't know if you guys listened to the most recent Titus and Tate podcast, but they had a segment, you know Mark Tatis's love for Drew Timmy from Gonzaga, but when he referred to Drew Timmy as Ethan Happ with a mustache,
that's a good one.
I about lost
it. I was listening to that earlier today. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Ethan Happ with a mustache. It was beautiful. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game and every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Make sure that you join our free IU Hoops email newsletter. It's join.assemblycall.com to get on that list. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Jared Morris here with the whole crew, Brian Tonsoni, Andy Bottoms, Ryan Phillips. We're breaking down Indiana's loss to Northwestern today. The final score says it was 1 point. It certainly felt like it was even worse than that. But it's time now, guys, for our game balls presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services. That is 23 in honor of TJD. Game balls after losses like this, never really a fun segment. But we did have a couple of sparkling individual performances, I suppose you could say. Coach, would you like to give out spark? What a terrible adjective. We had some decent, some decent performances, but you lose. I don't think you sparkling. I don't know. I need to go back to bed.
Things,
just a bad word to choose. Coach. Yeah. The sparkling Coach Tonsoni. There, it works much better there. Why don't you give us your game ball?
That's just weak. We expect more from you, Morris.
Hey, Jared, can you take that "that's just weak" drop?
We're going to need that one. My adjective just got stolen. Okay.
Saying that. It's got to be Trace Jackson Davis. Hood Schifino scored a lot of points, a little loose with the ball to get a game ball. I just really appreciate Trace gutting it out with his injury and playing the 40 minutes. He wasn't perfect today, but I'm going to go with TJD.
Okay, Ryan?
Same, going with TJD. I mean, 18 points, 24 rebounds, 8 assists. If his teammates had made a couple shots, he'd had another triple-double, but 4 blocks as well, and he played all 40 minutes. I don't know how you could pick anybody else given that result. Jalen Schifino made some shots, played really well, but Trace was the heart and soul of this team yet again and tried to will them to victory. And nobody else came along for the ride, it didn't feel like. So it's Trace for me.
Andy?
Yep, same here. Anytime you get mentioned as the first guy in IU basketball to do something since Kent Benson, which was the thing on rebounds, you know you did something pretty good. So I'll go with Trace.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Trace too. Again, you know, the one guy that really seemed to kind of bring some focus and effort the entire time he was out there, and he was out there the whole time. So I'm going to give it to Trace as well. You know, I saw a little discussion going on in the chat mob. You know, someone said there was a lot of lazy, lackadaisical basketball out there. And I saw Jen say, are they lazy or are they just honestly lost or confused out there? And I think it's a really good question, because I think there are times, you know, defensively, you know, during, you know, some of the things that they're running offensively where, you know, there is, you know, maybe a lack of movement, or it looks like it may be, you know, kind of laziness, but it is confusion. But the disappointing thing to me is I did see today what felt like some just lazy and lackadaisicalness. You know, getting back in transition, there's never confusion about getting back in transition. You run as hard as you can to the other end of the floor, pick up the ball, and, you know, take care of your assignments from there. And we saw too many opportunities where that didn't happen. You know, attacking a rebound that is bouncing around you. There's not a whole lot of thought that needs to go into that. It's just go get the dang ball. And that's the problem, coach, you know, to answer that question. I do think there are times for a team that is maybe struggling with the system or understanding what they're supposed to be doing, you can see some indecision that feels like it's guys not playing hard, and that's not it. I think the problem today, and the reason why a lot of fans are frustrated today, is there was some of that kind of lackadaisicalness. Now, that can come because, you know, you just feel beaten down by the circumstance and maybe you're not believing in what's going on, you know, frustration, all of that, but you can't have it. And that's the problem, because if that starts to snowball, this team is going to have no chance to win games. That's the problem, I think, with some of what we saw today.
No, I think Jen's on to something, to be honest. I do think this team felt sorry for themselves, and that's on the players. Anytime you lace it up, no matter what jersey you're wearing, you got to go out and play basketball the right way. And I think they were not into the game, for whether it's the noon start or they lost a starter, or maybe they're not liking what's going on. You know, you only get so many times to play, and you should play, you know, as fully involved and invested as possible. So I do see what you're saying, Jared, too, but there could be a lot there where, you know, the habits haven't been coached out of these guys either. So we don't know all of that, but to blame just the players on this is, I'm with Ryan. They need to be better and hold each other accountable, and someone needs to grab them and yell. Absolutely. And players can overcome a tough situation, but the bad habits have not been coached out of this program. And sometimes you can't, and that's a player issue, but I think it's more than just a player issue with Indiana. I think it's a combination a little bit, and I'm leaning more towards the coaching staff than I am the players. And sometimes when you're lost offensively, or you don't buy into what the coach is selling or doing, then it gets hard to be as motivated as you should be. And so I think Jen's on to something. And again, it's hard for us to sit here in the man cave and really put our finger on it without being in there. But it's a combination of both of those things, I believe.
Well, the one thing you know is it's a symptom of something deeper. That's for sure.
Yes.
And whatever it is, it's not good. All right, next up, ironically, the Hoosier Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Let's go Hoosier Hustle Award. Ryan, why don't you lead us off?
I mean, this is a real tough one today because Jalen Giaffino played 35 minutes. I wasn't sure I loved his focus and hustle for a lot of the game on the defensive end. I thought offensively he did pretty darn well. But the one guy I saw giving consistent effort the entire game, and even though it wasn't always perfectly directed, was Trey Galloway. And I thought he really played very, very hard. And I thought that in some ways we saw Jalen not play super hard. And again, I think with Jalen, you know, I'm not saying this was a lack of, you know, I'm just not going to play hard, or, you know, a mental thing or anything like that. He also played an insane amount of minutes against Iowa for a freshman with a heavy load on his shoulders, being the primary point guard, had to do the same thing today. He's got to be a little worn down. So I don't necessarily think this was a attitude problem or anything like that. I think he's just kind of worn out. But I would give it to Trey Galloway, and just as the proof for Trey, and I think that he, you know, is trying to do a little too much when he's on the floor right now. I think teams are expecting him to drive in and do those kind of crazy passes, and he's getting some stolen over the last couple games and everything. But 25 minutes, they were plus 14 when he was on the floor. He was on the floor when they were at their best, and I thought he worked really hard. I thought especially his defense really late picked up really well. So I'm giving it to Trey.
Yeah, and there was a great sequence back in the second half, and it was 55-41, and Indiana didn't play a whole lot of great defense, but they did on this possession. And that, you'll recall, it's the one where they ended up forcing Adige to, you know, take that three late in the shot clock, and Trey was just all over him, and then comes down on offense and, you know, got into the lane, and you kind of feared that he was going to maybe overpass it and try and dump to Trace, and he hit that little floater, and it was really nice. I agree with you. He, to me, was kind of the, you know, the one guy all game. That I thought was just really busting it on both ends. So Trey gets it for me, Coach.
Let's just go with Trey. I mean, that's kind of hard on a game like this when you have the outcome. But I do. He hit the floor a few times. I thought the other one you could consider is CJ Gunn.
Yeah.
I just thought he played with some intensity. He didn't get a lot of run, and I don't think he impacted an awful lot, but I thought I liked his body language when he was in the game, so that would be the other one to consider, but I'll go with Trey.
Andy?
Yeah, I was going to say CJ Gunn. I thought he sparked what comeback they did make in the first half just by being a guy who, like I said earlier, he wasn't afraid to get up into them defensively, wasn't afraid to attack a little bit when IU had the ball. So I'll give it to him, knowing that Trey will get it for the game, but I thought he was definitely worthy of consideration.
Yeah, and Ryan, I think you bring up good points about Jalen. You know, we maybe have been a little bit harsh on him in this show than we should have after a game where he scores 33 points, and, you know, we know that he's dealing with some back issues too. And I do think there were a couple of those instances that really stood out with him maybe not, you know, giving a lot of hustle. But Jalen's a freshman, and you're going to deal with some ups and downs from kind of a focus standpoint with a freshman. The issue is now with this team as it is, with no X, you know, no race. I mean, you need Jalen to basically play like a grizzled veteran senior.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's a lot to ask.
It is.
And even so I think he's going to be a first round pick, and I think he's going to be playing in the NBA next year. It's a lot to ask.
Yeah. So I want to make sure that we're fair to him, because from an offensive standpoint, what he did today was phenomenal. I mean, the shot making that he showed is some of the best shot making we've seen in this program in a long time. Now, is that translatable? I don't know. You know, there were big questions about his shot making, but now he just keeps making shots. And so, you know, he's not going to score 33 points every game, obviously, but he had to carry a really big load offensively based on how Indiana's playing, and his ability to do that and hit a lot of clutch shots to keep this team at least within arm's length was impressive. So for some of the things I think that, you know, may be fair to criticize him for, he obviously was a big part of the reason why Indiana was even competitive today. And, you know, that obviously is a lot. You know, the thing, Andy, that I started thinking about, and I guess this is our lingering question, we've been here before with a terrifically talented perimeter player offensively, a senior down low, you know, who can really do some good work, when we had Romeo and Juwan. And boy, it's starting to feel, this season is starting to feel a little bit more like that season than I ever thought it would here in January. And that's a lingering question, is we saw what happened that year, which is things just snowballed so far out of control before they could yank things back onto the road. It was ridiculous. And, you know, losing two games is not losing 12 out of 13 like that team did. But we've been there. We've seen the warning signs. There are a whole lot of those warning signs right now. And so can this team go on the road at Penn State, you know, against a good team in a tough environment, and yank this thing back on the road with a victory? Because if not, in this conference this year, things can snowball really quickly. And you run the risk of wasting a season with two,
you know, just terrifically talented guys in Jalen and Trace. But we've been here before, and we've seen it, and it felt a lot like this. So,
worth remembering. Jared, a lot of these guys are going to be here next year because they're exhausting eligibility or they're going to go to the NBA. This is your year to, like, make a big impact because it's not like there's a whole range of five-star recruits coming in next year for Indiana. This was the year of Mike Woodson's early tenure that they had to make hay, and it's not looking great. And so I think that's what a lot of people are looking at right now is, all right, well, if you can't do it with these guys, what do we have to look forward to? And so this is a very important season for Indiana basketball and certainly for Mike Woodson.
And it's still early. There's still plenty of time to get this thing turned around, you know.
But 16 games left, something like that. Like, there's plenty of time, but...
But there's warning signs flashing.
Yeah.
Bright, red.
It's not getting better.
Yeah, I think you know, what we talk about with Jalen, you know, underscores a different reason for why losing X is such a big deal. You can afford, when you have both of those guys, for one to maybe take a little bit of a backseat defensively, knowing that you've got his playmaking ability. Like, the burden on Jalen Huccifino without Xavier Johnson right now is massive.
Yeah.
And he's picked that up and then some on the offensive end, talked about how well he controlled the game against Iowa. And the shot making, as you mentioned today, was great. I don't think he is probably ready to take on the burden of having to defend both the best perimeter player on the other team and be the guy who's running the show. But that's what he's being asked to do right now. And that's where other guys stepping up defensively becomes really important. Can Tamar Bates take that step? He struggled at times today. He didn't play for a long stretch in the first half. You know, CJ Gunn showed some things. Galloway showed some stretches of that, but also got beat at times. So I think they've got to find ways to kind of allocate that workload of, you know, everything you expected Xavier Johnson and Jalen Huccifino to do as a tandem can't all fall on Jalen Huccifino, which is pretty much what's happening right now. So you got to allocate some of the things that you expected from X, knowing that you're going to get some percentage of it to other players and they have to be able to step up. And I think that's why when we look at the common thread of these last two games, it's like, man, we had two guys play really, really good. And the drop off from those two guys to whoever you think the third best guy was is massive. And they have to find a way to close that gap a little bit. And it doesn't have to be the same player every night. Doesn't have to be the same player every week. Doesn't even have to be the same player every half. But you need somebody to be able to take a little bit of the pressure off of those guys. And that's really what you have to look for as you move forward. You know, the challenge is as you look at, you know, playing a Penn State team that, you know, we remarked last year just what Shrewsbury had been able to do schematically on the offensive side. If you think he's not going to come out with ways to try to isolate the guys that they want in disadvantages, you're kidding yourself. So this team has to get a lot better and a lot more mature defensively in a matter of days in order to play well in that game, because they will be tested defensively in an even greater way than they were today. And that's what gives you cause for concern. Again, you know, the offense, we can talk about things that we don't like about it, but the net result of what the offense put up today against a really good defensive team was more than adequate to win the game. I mean, you scored 174 points, I think, in the last two games, and you haven't won either one of them. Mm-hmm. That's pretty damning in terms of what your defense is really accomplishing at that point, and you're not going into a matchup where that's going to be exploited. So that's ultimately the lingering concern when you look at it that way.
Yep.
Just another ray of sunshine to fire into the show.
All right. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, time for last call. Ryan, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I just think what we've seen from Indiana is this is a talented team. It's got some depth, and even with the injuries, should be enough to beat half the Big Ten. I don't think it's a very well-coached team, and I think that seeing that sort of play out repeatedly. I don't think this staff is very flexible. I don't think they're willing to change things that aren't working. I think they keep drilling it because I think their insistence is, well, it's because the players aren't executing properly. Well, if the players are consistently not executing what you're putting out there properly, maybe change what you're doing and make it easier on them. So I think Mike Woodson's at sort of an inflection point right now. He needs to figure out what he kind of costs to be. Is he going to be a guy consistently and demands that, you know, the stuff that he is putting out there works, until it does work or the team fails? Or is he willing to adjust to his personnel, adjust to these college kids, and try and find things that do work for this roster? That's really the big question of Indiana basketball. It's going to define the next couple years, really, and it's going to start right now. And it's, you're going to see it at Penn State. This defense has been an absolute disaster for weeks. If there is no change against Penn State, I think it's time to start, you know, asking some questions of this program.
Andy?
I mean, I don't know that there's a whole lot to say that we haven't said already in an hour and a half or whatever it's really been, but a really disappointing start to the game today in what was a really an important bounce back spot for this team. I think everybody at this point has reset some expectations in terms of where this team sits. I think we've talked about that a lot, but I think no matter what your lowered expectations were, I think being able to come out with a little more urgency in a home game against a team that has been surprising, but still is not among the top in the league from a talent perspective, was just really, really disappointing. And, you know, these two games this week have been one game you got off to a great start, found a way to lose. The other game you got off to a terrible start, found a way to lose. To me, it ties back to the defense. You're playing well enough offensively, even with players missing, to be able to win games if you can show just a little bit of improvement and things like that on the defensive end. They just have to take a massive step forward there, and they haven't shown signs of doing it. And if the answer after the game is, well, these guys are hurt, as you said, I'm not sure what to tell you. But somebody has to step up and make some changes from that perspective, whether that's players in terms of the way they're leading. I know Trace talked about that. Sounds like in the press conference of saying, I need to do a better job of leading the team based on how they executed the game plan, different things like that. But something has to change, because this, you know, things will not get easier. The Big Ten is beating up on itself. Things do not get easier. You go, you know, Penn State's really good offensively. Wisconsin, team IU struggled with. You got Illinois after that, and they kind of bounced back a little bit yesterday and played well. Like, you're not going to get probably an easier game than the one that you had today. So, I feel like we said this so many times over the years. It's, how does this team respond to this scenario? The response from the Iowa game to this one was not good. You got to hope that they can respond a little bit differently going from this game to the Penn State game, to give themselves a chance to meet even the lowered expectations that I think everybody has at this point, which is disappointing enough.
Well said, Andy. Good luck in your game today.
We will need it. Thanks. See you guys.
All right. See you, man. Coach, last call.
Yeah, I just want to see I'm calling it a rebuilding year, a developmental year. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but teams that lose two starters – they struggle. Michigan State had Adkins down and Hall down and lost to this Northwestern team at home. Kind of familiar, right? Creighton loses their center and had some other injuries and loses six in a row, and that team did really well out in Maui. So, to be honest, when you lose two six-year senior starters, the expectations to win have to be tempered. And I think we need to do that. And that doesn't excuse style or how you play or the fundamentals. That's the only concern of mine, not so much the loss today, is in the how. And people could disagree with me, and I could be totally wrong. When you have two studs like we have, maybe you should still compete. But when you lose, your whole season was built upon having those guys there. It may take some time for the coaching staff, the players, everyone to get the right feel, the right mental fit. Again, it doesn't make what we saw today, Jared, acceptable or fun, but there's some realism in how you handle losses in college basketball. And I think Anna's in for a tough run, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is reminiscent of Romeo's year, where you have the talent, but a lot of the things just don't. You had a Finney injury there that year, I believe. If I remember right, yep. And as much as we want to say next man up, if the next man up was capable of playing above and better than the starter, they would have been starting for the most part. And we just lost a lot. With that, I don't want to excuse the poor play. So it's a little bit of a seesaw conundrum, whatever you want to call it, about how to evaluate Indiana basketball right now. But the lack of fundamentals is the most concerning to me. Like, I thought we were losing them before we had the injuries. I thought there were some issues defensively and offensively before the rash of injuries. But we have been really hit hard. You know, Hood Schifino's out for a couple of the games that we lost. And then we lose X inside a game. And then we lose Race inside a game. And now we have 2 days to recover from that. And the guys were just kind of beat up mentally, and doesn't excuse it. But I think we're in for a long, long season. It's not going to stop my love of the Hoosiers showing up and doing the show, the love of the community, and talking and sharing. We're going to need each other more and more now because if we win it all at Penn State, it'll be great. But the expectations are not to win probably a couple, you know, 2-3 more times until we get into a place where we can play without those guys, or maybe get someone back if that is all possible. And so there we need C.J. Gunn to play. We might need to see Caleb Banks play, because you can still benefit from this struggle. Every setback is an opportunity to get better in life, right? Like, adversity gives you opportunity. We have an opportunity to develop people in game time situations, live with their mistakes, understand, teach them on film, because we don't want these losses now to hurt us again next year when you have a whole new roster. You want to have some continuity, and you can get that now. And I know that's like giving up on the season. I'm not giving up. You still going to play to win, but find 10 minutes here or there. Find 15 minutes here or there. Try to fit them into a winning situation because you have no choice. It's just going to be a struggle, and I think we all need to be ready for that. And it doesn't mean we can't hold them to high standards.
Yeah. No, it is. These are the seasons that are the toughest, Coach, because you have these injuries, and you have to readjust to the injuries. You know, there's just expecting this team to be everything that we thought without X and Race, that's just not going to be possible. You know, and I think the challenge with evaluating today's game, it was like, okay, there was a certain revised expectation for how Indiana would do without X and Race, and it still viscerally felt like they fell short of that. You know,
I agree.
And look, you know, again, it's college kids and the emotion of college sports. It's up and down from one game to the next, and that can be difficult. And there's probably a whole mix of stuff in the stew that, you know, is causing some of the things that we saw out there on the court. You know, and so I think it's okay to acknowledge all of that stuff while still trying to, you know, to hold them accountable to a certain standard. And that standard, you know, wasn't met today. But you know, the other thing to remember and to keep in mind, you know, and we hyper-focus so much on these bad moments, look at where Iowa basketball was a week ago. You know, they've lost 3 or 4 in a row. They lost to Eastern Illinois. They've got a player stepping away, you know, to take care of his mental health. I mean, it's just everything is pointing down. And, you know, they, you know, put together an inspired effort against Indiana to come back. And now today, didn't they go on the road and win at Rutgers today? Noted tough team Iowa goes on the road and beats Rutgers. And now things are looking up for them. And so this is what happens in this league, is as soon as things feel like they're at their worst, you know, if you can come together and have a few things go your way, you can come out of it in a positive way. And so that's the hope that I'm, you know, taking from this is, you know, there were some positives to take from today in terms of the individual, you know, performances, you know, and individual abilities to score in tough situations against a tough defense. It wasn't all for naught. But, you know, can this team now kind of find itself together and, you know, despite the injuries and despite who's not there, make the most of the guys who are? Today they weren't able to do that. But, you know, you're 40 minutes away from doing it and getting a completely renewed, you know, kind of vision of what this season can be. You go on the road and win at Penn State, you're feeling good. You come home for a home game against a Wisconsin team that you've struggled against, but you're still going to have as much or more talent than them, just raw talent. Come back and beat them at home, and you're back at 3-3, and things are feeling okay. Now, that is much, much easier said than done. I'm not saying I expect it, but what I'm saying is in the Big Ten, you see that happen. And so we, as fans, I think, just have to stay the course, keep supporting, keep analyzing, keep critiquing, but keep supporting and know that, you know, within that locker room, they still have what it takes to turn this thing around. Will they? It's an open question. I think it's fair to doubt and to be skeptical about it, but it's right there, and you can turn it around, and momentum in this league is one week at a time. And so Indiana has an opportunity. They're behind the eight ball. You don't want to be in this position because, I mean, you're staring down the barrel of 1-4 in the conference with a tough road game. But if you can go find a way to win that, you can get things turned back around. And that's just what this team has to do right now. So I don't necessarily offer that as a, you know, an offering of hope that it's going to happen. But that's what's at stake. And we'll be here watching it and hoping that this team can find something within itself to get a win that, unfortunately, they just were not able to get today. All right. Well, thank you for being here. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday night after IU Penn State. And listen to the Doing the Work crew after Indiana Northwestern, the women's game coming up here soon. Until then.
Take it from me, Roman Lankford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
All right.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here. Gosh, that was tough, Coach. That was tough.
Yeah. It...
Uh-oh. Did we lose Coach?
Nope, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I couldn't. Yeah. Something was choppy, no. Whatever.
No, I said in a month's time, we've just kind of gone from high expectations. You win at the 1st of December, November 30th against North Carolina, and you have your whole roster, and then Hood Schifino gets hurt, and then X gets hurt, and then Race gets hurt, and then the guys you have left decide not to play fundamental basketball or aren't coached in a certain way to play fundamental basketball. It's,
yeah,
the train just ran off the tracks fast, and I don't know how to get it back if we're going to get it back. I don't have a good feeling. Again, I don't want to be pessimistic, but it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't.
No, I mean, if this team fights and scratches and claws, but they just have a bad shooting night, and Northwestern comes in and beats you, it's like, all right, you know what, man? This team, you know, they tried their damnedest, missing two of their guys. Northwestern has beaten some teams. And I don't know. I mean, maybe we had a different read on the game than what we should have. But that's just not how it felt. You know, didn't feel like that watching it. You know, Northwestern just kind of came in and threw the first punch and, you know, felt like they controlled the game by 10 points the whole way, you know. And I don't know. Just it felt like there was more there, even with all the other issues. But I guess we'll find out. It's going to play out over the season. See what these guys are.
I mean, it's just tough. Like, they're, you know, Minnesota, where's the break? You know, where's the get right? There isn't. The get right's inside the yeah. staff, inside the players, to try to find a way to, you know, to get a win. But I don't know what to expect because I still think we have talent on this team. You know, it's not like,
yeah.
You know,
we have guys who can make plays.
You got two guys that can really make plays. So I think it's fair to expect some better play. But yet it's not the complete team that you had. And any coach will tell you when you plan the off season, you plan for X to be there all the time and Race to be there all the time. That's where the concern with me is in the adjustments. If you have to have those guys in your system, the way you run things to win and then you lose, then maybe you're not capable of getting guys to play up to the level that you need to win. That's what I'm going to be watching, right? Because it's all about adaptations. But there's been tons of, you know, our high school, our Western program, we had three post players out. We have three post players on the roster. I'm not coaching anymore, but they lost three in a row. They've won five in a row since they got all three of their guys back. So
makes a difference.
It makes a difference, to be fair. I just think there's some underlying, something's going on because the juice is not there that we saw at Xavier that we saw at the North Carolina game. Something player-wise, coach-wise, they just don't – they don't look like it's fun or they're enjoying what they're doing. And that's why I think Jen was on to something. Like,
yeah,
there's a bigger issue than just throwing the ball loosely. There's a bigger issue than, you know, not closing out right. There's a bigger issue going on right now, and I have no clue what it is. But it's not, you know, you hope you have an Iowa turnaround. You hope you have a Michigan State turnaround. But because of that underlying factor that's just out there where it doesn't, you know, I don't know. I didn't see Iowa when they lost three in a row. So I don't know what their mojo was. Were they down and out? Were they lackadaisical? Did they make some bad turnovers? And then all of a sudden they started playing well. I don't know.
No. No, and look, and for all of our hemming and hawing and trying to explain it away, you know, look no further than the women's team. Terry Moren planned all offseason for Grace Berger to be there, you know, and she went out and they weren't as good, obviously, you know, and they lost a game they probably wouldn't have lost if Grace had been playing, but it still felt the same. You know, and that's the issue, is it just, and to be fair, it wasn't feeling right even when X and Race were there, you know, and that's the other part of the issue, is it's like there are the injuries, but man, things felt a little weird even before that. So it's just, I don't know, it's a weird aggregation of things that have happened the last month that here we are on January 8th, and at the end of an Indiana Northwestern game at home, there was talk of contending for a Big Ten title, and it was about Northwestern. I mean, what a weird season, man. Anyway, I don't know. Nothing else to say, really. Take a few days to decompress from this one and come back after Penn State. Coach can spend 60 minutes talking about Micah Shrewsbury.
I hope he has an off night.
Yeah. Let's hope. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Good night, everyone.
Being here. We'll see you guys all later.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.